to another inspirational message from Pastors Dave and Jenny Gilpin. Dave and Jenny are the senior pastors of Hope City Church. For any more information or for any more resources, go to davegilpin.com.
I'm going to speak to you a message. It's called Don't Mess With The Mustard. And let me just say, I'm very long in the tooth. I'm 51. And I've been in the ministry for almost 32 years. And I've seen a lot of Christians. I've seen Christians of all sorts of varieties. There are normal Christians, but they're quite hard to find. They're thin on the ground. Normal Christians, they're thin on... It's not that funny, Chris. They're thin on the ground. These are the varieties. There are the country-file Christians. And they wear woolly jumpers and comfortable shoes and loose-fit jeans. So I preached somewhere recently where there are country-file Christians. It was interesting. Then there are the Fruit Loop Christians. And these ones are characterized by demon-chasing behavior. And if you cough, you're in danger of being laid on hands. And he met some of them. Some of you are leaving in disgust. Then there are the skinny jean Christians. And these are the ones who follow trendy preachers and adjust their wardrobes appropriately to fit the stereotype. Do you recognize any yourselves? Do you recognize? Do you know, Dave has just been the last weekend marrying his niece, not as in marrying his niece, as in he was the vicar that married his niece. In Texas, and they thought he was gay because they all large jeans and Stetsons, and Dave was in his skinny jeans. Actually, the funniest thing, let me just say this. You all know, have you ever heard in America they have there something before the wedding called the rehearsal dinner? And we all know that's a posh occasion, don't we? It's like the wedding. Dave didn't realize or hadn't researched this. And Dave turns up to the rehearsal dinner in a t-shirt and ripped jeans. Yeah, anyway. So there are the skinny jeans, but the variety of Christians this morning that annoy me the most. Are you ready? You may recognize yourself, but more or likely you won't recognize yourself. The variety of Christians that annoy me the most and that we secretly admire but we can never emulate are the faith gold Midas touch Christians. You know the Christians that blab it and grab it? You know the ones that just speak it into the heavenlies and it happens and the Mercedes arrives in the garage? Anybody? Anybody with me? And you know the sort of Christians that whatever they pray, they get an answer immediately? We hate them. Don't we? We dislike them. But what actually happens is not that the fact that we just dislike these type of Christians is that what they do to us is they make us sit down on the inside. And so we come along to church and we give them a seal clap. Love your work. And it makes us sit down on the inside and sit in our seats and think that we have no faith. And so what it does is it relegates us to the grandstand. And so we come and clap the people that we think. We come and clap in our hearts those mighty men and women of God that just get everything they want, and we sit down on the inside and think that our variety of faith does not have the ability to touch God. And I want to say this morning, your variety of faith has more than the ability to touch God. It touches the heart of God. And there is no such thing as faith Midas gold touch Christians. Your faith has the ability this morning to change the heavenlies. Is anybody with me? We take our walk with God back into the audience section. And we clap and cheer those who seemingly live on the playing field and never seem to be challenged. Am I talking to you this morning? And so we relegate faith and mighty exploits into the too hard basket, and we become a spectator instead of a participant in the things of God. When all the while, God didn't expect you to have a seed of faith that was the size of a coconut. He didn't even expect you this morning to have a seed of faith the size of an avocado. My Bible says that he only expects you to have faith the size of a mustard seed. And my God deals in mustard seed kind of faith. His currency is the little faith that we dismiss as unworkable. His currency is the faith that stays strong through the insurmountable. And his agenda is to work through you and your mustard seed. Now, you could go home just with that this morning, couldn't you? Like, God can work through my mustard seed. But I did some Googling for you. But firstly, I want to read to you Matthew 17:20, the scripture that says, I say, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Mustard seeds are tiny, tiny, tiny little seeds. So as I said, I did some Googling. And this is what I Googled. Mustard seeds are usually around 1 to 2 millimeters in diameter. Isn't it amazing what God can do with something that you can barely see? And isn't it amazing this morning what God can do with what you can barely see in you? Your mustard seed of faith this morning is 1 to 2 millimeters big. And they come. Are you ready? I've Googled some more. Are you proud of my research today? I just put in mustard seeds. There's nothing deep and meaningful about me. Mustard seeds are colored and come from yellowish white to black. There are all kinds of mustard seeds, and they all produce mustard. But out of mustard seeds, we have, those who know me now realize that this information that I'm about to say could only have been Googled. Because it is known my abilities in the kitchen are completely inadequate. We have yellow mustard, honey mustard, come with me, spicy brown mustard. We have Dijon mustard. That's the swish ones. The whole grain mustard, the hot mustard. The English mustard, that's a more reserved variety. The English mustard, the German mustard, and the French mustard. They're all mustard. They're all different. They're all unique. And they're all yours. And your faith this morning doesn't have to look the same as anybody else's. Your faith that God has placed in your spirit this morning has the properties in it that nobody else's faith has. And it's the ploy of the enemy to tell you that you have no faith, that your faith is not attractive to God, that your faith is incapable of moving mountains. And I'm here to say to you this morning, even on this First Fruit Sunday, as you place your envelope in faith, God honors your mustard seed. God honors you this morning if you come to the plate and you feel like you can hardly believe. Come on. How many offerings have we gone to when we put something in, believing God, and we just don't have anything in us, but we're doing it out of obedience. God honors your mustard seed this morning. Do you know, I Googled some more. And this is what happens. This is where mustard seeds grow. Favorable conditions for mustard germination include moist soil and a soil temperature of roughly 45 to 85 degrees Fahrenheit. Under these conditions, are you enjoying? Mustard will emerge from the soil in 5 to 10 days. Let me pan this out, church. Basically, mustard seeds can grow in soil under 7 degrees Celsius. So if your climate that your heart is in this morning is not in the tropics, if the climate in your life and your heart this morning is Arctic, God still has the capacity to germinate the seed of faith that is in your spirit this morning. My prayer this morning is that you will go away from this place today and you will realize that your faith is not sidelined. That even this morning in Arctic conditions, when you seemingly can see nothing happening and nothing going on, God is breathing on your seed of faith and it is germinating in your heart. There is mustard in you, even when the prevailing winds are unfavorable and outcomes cannot be seen. Mustard can be made and beautiful outcomes develop. Let me tell you some of the beautiful outcomes that can come out of your mustard. Aromatic black eye bean curry. Chicken curry. I'll just say before I say any of these, I have never cooked any of these. This is what shops are for. Grilled pork chops with blatant and radishes. Somebody will correct me afterwards. You watch, Beth. Yeah, they'll be up here saying I. Tandoori spiced pork chops with savoy cabbage. Savoy cabbage, that might make you be running to the loo. Beef hal farazi with sweet and sour squash. Pan roasted duck with ginger chutney. Yeah, yeah. I'm making you hungry, aren't I? Roast salmon with dill and mustard. Spiced marinated chicken with grilled pineapple and green bean chutney. None of which I've ever cooked. Many of which I've purchased from the Marks and Spencers section. Everyone's faith is designed with its own unique recipe and outcome. And what cooks in the kitchen of your heart, no one else's faith can reproduce. No one else's faith can reproduce today what is cooking in the kitchen of your heart. There is more cooking in your kitchen than you realize. Turn to your neighbor now and say, there is more cooking in your kitchen than you realize. If Dave heard this, he'd say, I wish. There's more cooking this morning in the kitchen of your heart than you realize. God is quite capable of dealing with and using the seemingly small deposit inside of you and moving incredible mountains. Now, I want to paint to you this morning the reason this message came about. Because I had a very challenging situation over the summer. I was facing an issue and a conundrum and a problem that I thought could seemingly not be solved. Actually, I have just been last week trying to face a problem that couldn't be solved as well, because the Home Office has my passport and will not give it back. And I've got to travel on Friday. So tomorrow I'm going to London. I'm getting an emergency passport from the Australian Embassy for another £300. Thank you, Home Office, very much. Just thought I'd get it, the bile out of my spirit. And then the problem will be, because it's an Australian passport, is that it has no indefinite leave to remain stamp within it. So if you never see me again, I am stuck in Manchester Airport. Or alternatively, on a plane back to Queensland, which would not be a bad outcome. So I faced a conundrum and a problem over the summer that could never be solved, and I was silly enough to voice my doubt to somebody who will remain nameless. And this somebody basically yelled back at me and said, "You have no faith. It's time to use your faith, Jen. You have no faith." And I was crushed from that person who will remain nameless. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, "Don't let anyone mock your mustard. Don't let anyone mess with your mustard. I know you feel like you have little faith, but that is all you need. I work with mustard seeds. I do the miracle. I only need the little faith you dismiss as nothing. That is all I need. You know, I was reading about King David, who wasn't the king at this point when I'm reading about him. In 1 Samuel 17, when we read the story of David and Goliath, the subplot here is about how David's weapon and art and ability was mocked and belittled by his brothers. And no one could see what lay deep within him. I want to read you this passage. And what was in David was not showy and it was not obvious, but it was his. And the faith that lies within your spirit this morning may not be showy or may not be obvious, but it's yours. It's placed in you by God. I'm going to read to you this passage of scripture about what happened to David. When Elias, in 1 Samuel 17, when Elias, David's eldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness?" Who's ever had someone mock your few sheep? The little thing that you're tending that seems insignificant and not comparable to the mighty men and women of God. And someone's come along and mocked that little few sheep. I know how conceited you are. These were his brothers. I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. "What have I done?" said David. "Hello, can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before. I don't know about you, my confidence level would be taking an all-time dive. You'd be thinking in your heart, "I don't think I can do this anymore. I don't think what's in me is capable of doing this anymore." What David said was overheard and was reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. Happened again. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, hello, there's an audience now. Saul replied, and I've lost my place, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him, for you are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from his mouth." Now listen, in my thought of this, he must have been a pretty good warrior to pull a sheep from a lion's mouth. Like, I don't think his brothers and Saul were quite aware of what he was capable of. Your peers, sometimes your family, are not aware of what you're capable of. And don't sit down in the workings of your heart because somebody else criticizes what God's placed within you. "I went after it," David said, "and I struck it and rescued the sheep from his mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair and struck it and killed it." Can't imagine any of you guys doing that. Maybe Andy Gorman from Ghana, back from Ghana. Maybe Andy could do stuff like that. Yes. So Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord will be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put on a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. And David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I can't go in these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. And then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, is anybody with me? And with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. And we know the story from then on that Goliath was killed with a smooth stone in the head. And he wasn't killed with David wearing somebody else's armor. He was killed with wearing what he knew, what was in his hand, what was in his spirit, the little thing that God had placed in his life. He would have thought for a 9-foot guy, he wouldn't need like some sort of missile. But he used a small stone. And all his brothers and the king mocked what was in his heart. But he knew the validity of the mustard seed, the uniqueness of what was cooking in his heart. He realized it. And he realized that God could breathe on it. Is anyone awake this morning? God could come this morning and breathe on the little thing that's in your heart. What people, what the enemy, what circumstances have belittled in you. God has the power this morning to breathe on that mustard seed inside you. No one could see the mustard seed, the confidence, what was beneath the surface in David's heart. But listen, but God can see the transactions of your heart. This morning, did you hear me? God can see the transactions of your heart. Life, friends, and family and circumstances try to belittle and intimidate the God life within you. And they try to silence the power of your mustard seed. And you know what I find? It's always the opinion of those closest that rattles you the most. As I said before. It always rattles you the most. But that makes you run to God and get hold of what God's placed within you. It's always to sow doubt in your mind and to back up the lie that only the mighty and the strong can do great exploits. And I would say there are no mighty and there are no strong, because then the only might and strength that we have comes from our Heavenly Father himself. There are no mighty men and women of God. There are men and women and a mighty God. There are men and women and a mighty God. And my Bible says in Daniel 11, they that know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. There is no mention here of those who look mighty or appear above average. So your skinny jeans can't help you this morning, even though you look wonderful in them. There's no mention here that those who look amazing or mighty or above average have any kudos in the kingdom of heaven above the mustard seed that's in your heart. And God takes each and every one of us and the thing that's cooking in our kitchen, and he wants to breathe upon it. Your knowledge of God and the power of the seed of faith within you is all you need to access the miraculous power of God in your life. I'm praying this morning that a whole new depth of faith will rise in our spirits, that we know that we have all we need to not only approach God, but to see God do miracles in our lives. Your journey of faith will appear completely different to anyone else's experience. Don't dismiss it. Don't dismiss it. Can I have the skinny jean band back, please? Oh, and a hat. Knocking it out of the park before God there, Joe. Do not put on anyone else's armor. You need to operate out of your own. Do you know, I realize that a crucial part of my armor is vulnerability. And people tell me at times, Jen, you shouldn't share the stuff that your heart goes through because it doesn't look strong. And God has shown me that vulnerability is a key part of my armor because it makes all of us realize that we're capable. And every battle I go through, I lay it out there. Another one tonight. I'm going to talk to you tonight about the new footstool, how to touch God through the hard stuff. And tonight, if you come to, I'm going to believe in God for a powerful move of God across this place, that your lives tonight will just be touched. We don't have time this morning because we have to give in faith. But tonight, Today, many of us have been pushed into a faithless corner because of the enormity of someone else's expression. And it stopped our transaction of faith. God values today the mustard seed that he has placed within you. He's placed it there in your heart. And even the ability this morning that you're here crying out to God means that you have mustard. Just the fact that you're here. Somebody else said to me recently, when I got a real answer about this situation, he said, oh, gave it away. He said, God's answered you, Jen, because you surrendered, which we all think is true. But then the Holy Spirit said to me, no, I didn't. I answered you because you cried out. And sometimes we line up all the things before God that we have to do for him to answer. And all he wants is the cry of our heart. It's simple. Stand with me, church, this morning. It's time to bring our mustard seeds out of dormancy. Amen. I believe this morning that many of you are going to have courage in your walk with God that you've not had before. And we're going to pray in a moment. But I want to worship just for a moment in time. And I want this to sink into your spirit, what you actually have this morning residing in your heart. The same power that rose Christ from the dead dwells within you.